That, I tell you what, we are so blessed. Thank you so much. That just really, really, very, very blessed. Howard, Lorraine, all of you. We even got John back, for goodness sake. Back. Good to have you with us again. It's just so good, I have to say. It just fills my heart with joy. So nice, so nice, so nice. Now, if you're familiar with the Gospel of Mark, you know that when Mark says something, he always has a reason. You know how some people, they always got something going on? When Mark tells it, the way he tells it and where he puts it in the storyline and where it all takes place, there's always something going on in the way the Gospel of Mark tells a story, and it's no different today. It is no different than it is today. Example, our story takes place in Jericho, which is on the west side of the Jordan River. It's about 15 miles, northeast of Jerusalem. And as I learned at the Bible study, it's amazing. Did you know that some of our students have Bibles, better Bibles than I do? They do. They pointed out to me, well, my Bible study notes is this city of Jericho is different than the other city of Jericho. And I'm like, I didn't know that. Who knew that they had a different city of Jericho? And then I remembered, that's right, because you probably already knew this. Back in Joshua chapter 6, what happens? Remember? The people wanting to come into the promised land? And what happens? There's that fortress of Jericho. There's that city. And what do? They march around it, don't they? And they cry out. And when they cry out, what happens? The walls come tumbling down. Of course they had to rebuild the city. Of course they had. I mean, that's just logic, okay? And in our story, Mark says, where's Bartimaeus at? He's outside Jericho. And what does Bartimaeus do? He cries out. And because he cries out, he's crying out in faith, and because he does, the walls of his blindness come tumbling down. And he is able to enter into the promised land of discipleship. That's part of what's going on in this story. It's more than just about a blind man receiving his sight. There's a whole lot more going on in this story. Bartimaeus is blind, but he can see well enough to know that Jesus can help him. He can see well enough to know that even though the crowd is telling him that, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth, he sees better than that. That ain't some guy from Nazareth. That's the Son of David. And he cries out. He doesn't say, hey, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, Jesus, Son of David. He's able to see who Jesus really is, even though he's blind. He can see well enough to know that not to listen when the crowd tells him to shh, 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 be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. He yells all the more louder. He can see well enough to know that the crowd doesn't have the right to say that he doesn't count. The crowd doesn't have a right to say that he's not important. The crowd doesn't have a right to say that his wants are any less important than theirs. And he cries out to Jesus. And he cries it out. A lot more to this passage than just about a blind man receiving his sight. Bartimaeus was wise enough to know that he needed help. He needed mercy. And he came to realize and to recognize a power greater than himself. And so he cries out to Jesus. Bartimaeus is blind, but he's not blinded by fear and he's not blinded by pride. He can see well enough to know that he's totally dependent on God's mercy. And so he cries out. Even when others are trying to dismiss him, he cries out. He won't listen to them because he's crying out to God. Because he's not looking for mercy from the crowd. He's looking for mercy from God. So I want to ask you, when is the last time you cried out to Jesus? See, what we're going to do today is I'm going to lead you through a four-step program. And you don't get to skip the steps, okay? You have to take each step because that's the way this path works. And that first step is we cry out to Jesus. And I want to ask you, when is the last time you cried out to Jesus? Some of you may have heard this song from Third Day, Cry Out to Jesus, and it talks about grief and sorrow and relationships and addictions and burdens and pain, laying your burden down as the choir just sang to us. Amen. The first step is we have to cry out to Jesus. We have to recognize our blindness. We have to recognize our need. Our first step is to cry out to Jesus. Step two, did you hear how Bartimaeus threw off his cloak? Now you're thinking, well, big deal, he threw off his cloak, but not for a blind beggar. A cloak was everything. A cloak was the only thing. It was his security. It was his livelihood. It's how he held his life literally together. A cloak kept him warm, kept him secure during the night. A cloak would be spread out during the day so that he could collect coins. A cloak he would fold up at night, gathering whatever coins people had thrown on. A cloak represented his identity. They see the cloak. They see a beggar. They can see that he's blind. A cloak was everything and the only thing he had. But when the crowd says, hey, Jesus is calling you, he throws it off. He doesn't say, hold on to this until I come back. He lets it go. He casts it off. He shows complete trust in Jesus, a trust deep enough that enabled him to leave that behind, that which was familiar, that which was safe. He sheds his cloak, and in shedding his cloak, he's shedding his identity. He doesn't know what he's going to be yet. He just knows he's not going to be Bartimaeus the blind beggar anymore. I don't know what the future is going to be. I can't tell you how it's going to work, but I know that I can't get there by clinging to the past. I can't get there by clinging to my history. I can only do it by claiming whatever future Jesus is going to give me. And he throws it off before he is healed. This happens before he is healed, before his sight is restored. He lets it go. He embraces a new identity by casting aside his old identity. He trusts in God's mercy before he sees any evidence of it. When we come to Jesus, we leave our past behind us. We can't claim the future. We can't claim the healing. We can't claim the wholeness that God intends for us to have if we're going to cling to old wounds and old resentments and old hurts. We can't claim the new life that God wants to give us by clinging to our old ways and our old patterns and our old routines, by clinging to our pride or our fear. We have to let go of everything. Bartimaeus voluntarily let it all go. Jesus didn't ask him to. Jesus didn't say, before you come, you got to leave your cloak behind. Jesus didn't say anything about it at all. Bartimaeus recognized that. Bartimaeus recognized that, and he sees that opportunity. Yes, the cloak was everything he had. It was his shelter. It was his security. It was the only livelihood. It was his only identity, but no more. He was going to receive a blessing. He was going to receive a new life. He was going to receive healing, and he sprang up. Did you hear that part? He sprang up. Wednesday night, the Bible study, Diana Emmons was saying, you know what? It's kind of like a game show contestant when their name is called. Do you ever see those game shows? And they call out the person's name. Do you ever see anybody say, oh, I don't know who that is. I don't know. No, they're jumping up and down. They're enthusiastic. Whoa, yes, that's me. That's me. I'm going. And off they go. That's the way Bartimaeus did. He threw it all behind. He was excited about the opportunity coming to him. He doesn't say, well, I don't know. He doesn't say, well, if I get rid of the cloak, what will I have? And he says, well, what if he heals me? Then I'll have to get a job. I'll have to work. I'll probably pay tax. No, he's excited about the opportunity. He's eager. He's excited. He's enthusiastic about this. He's going to meet Jesus. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what your cloak is. I just know every single person here has one. All of us have one. All of us have a cloak that we want to hide behind, that we want to cling to, that we want to hold on to. And if we're going to come to Jesus, we have to leave our cloak behind. First step is you cry out. The second step is you come. You come to Jesus. Leave your cloak behind. Step three, he claims his need. He claims his want. He claims his desire. When Jesus asked him what he wanted Jesus to do, he had an answer. He wanted to see. I mean, in one sense, it's a bizarre question. He's a blind beggar, for goodness sake, Jesus. Can't you see? Of course he wants to be. Well, really, what kind of question? Except for Jesus is seeing more than just the blind man. He is seeing a child of God who has an opportunity to be able to come and meet the Son of God. A person who is able to understand that there's more to it than just getting physical sight. That if you're going to really have vision, then you have to be able to ask the question, what is on your heart? What is it you really want Jesus to do? Jesus honored Bartimaeus by giving him an opportunity for honest self-reflection. And if you're ever going to receive wholeness, if you're ever going to receive true healing, you have to be able to be honest with yourself about what your true need is. And Bartimaeus was able to do that. Jesus gave him that opportunity, essential for growth, essential for true healing. And he invites Bartimaeus to speak it. And he invites Bartimaeus to trust in Jesus to provide it. That's what we do. That's the opportunity Jesus gives to each of us. Are you willing to be totally honest about speaking your need? At the Wednesday night Bible study, I invited the class this whole week. I said, the rest of the week, I want you to think about that question at various times during the day. What do you want Jesus to do for you? You think about that. I don't want you to speak it out, but I want you to think about it. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Think about that. We all have our need. This is our opportunity. What is it that you want? What is it that you need? Jesus is here now. He's calling you. It's your time. It's your turn. It's your chance. It's your opportunity. What do you want Jesus to do for you? And that's step three. Claim what you want Jesus to do for you. Claim what Jesus can do for you. Step four. Bartimaeus received his sight. He received his gift. He even received the freedom to go whatever way he wanted. Jesus says, go. Go your way. Go. But instead, Bartimaeus saw an opportunity to follow Jesus. He sees his choice and he chooses Jesus. Yes, I know what my path was, but now my path is to follow you. Now my path is to follow Jesus. Now my path is to be a disciple. Jesus has restored to him his true identity. Bartimaeus has received God's mercy, and now that his identity has been fully restored, he recognizes that the gift of healing that he has, that the gift he's received from God, is not something that he is selfishly to enjoy. It's a gift that gives him an opportunity to share with others on a call to discipleship. When blindness is healed, discipleship can begin. And the same is true for us. We can't lead others if we're still blind. It's not going to work. And we can't come to Jesus by staying behind. And we can't be healed if we won't name or claim what Jesus can do for us. And we can't follow Jesus if we go our own way. Jesus doesn't follow us on our way. We follow Jesus on Jesus' way. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means when we choose. The fourth step is we get to choose. And we choose to follow Jesus. Step one, we cry out. Are we aware of our blindness, our need? Have we cried out to Jesus in our blindness? step two. We come to Jesus. We come to Jesus with enthusiasm and excitement, with expectations. Come expecting to meet Jesus. Come excited like a game show contestant. And if you're going to look back, you're just looking back waving with joy. Look whose name got called. Look who God picked. I'm on my way to the promised land. The walls of Jericho, the walls of blindness, the walls of my limitation are tumbling down. And a new life is opening up before me. Step three, we claim our want, we claim our need. Jesus isn't judging it. He's asking, what is it you want? And step four, we choose to follow Jesus. Cry, come, claim, choose. When we do, we're going to discover way more than healing. Because that same word, healing, can also mean wholeness. That same word can also mean saved. When we receive Jesus, when we come to Jesus, when we hear Jesus say, what do you want? Jesus restores us our identity. And now the choice is for us to choose to follow Jesus. And when we do, not only is our identity restored, our lives are made whole, and we are restored with an opportunity to share that gift with others. Come meet Jesus. Come meet a person who can help you with your blindness. Come meet a person who will restore you to your true identity as a child of God. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.